Lord be with you. Amen. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord. Afternoon, everyone. I think Peter is just confused. He's certainly not speaking out of hate. Peter is rejecting this passion that Jesus must undergo because he's misguided. He has a misguided love. And he wants worldly certainties. We want something, you know, cash money, the world. This is what we need. And he does not understand the mission. He is not thinking with God, but rather Satan. So Satan means one who opposes or obstructs the will of God. And that is why Jesus uses such harsh words. They sound really harsh. But he's making it clear he's thinking incorrectly. And this is about whatever choices and actions set themselves against God's loving economy of redemption. This is how it comes about. The question for Peter and for each person is either I embrace the cross preached by Jesus in imitation of his love, or the cross becomes a stumbling block to me and I become a stumbling block to Jesus and his mission. I mean, was this not the case with Judas, who simply could not accept the direction which was becoming clear with each passing day? Judas is like, he did these things. I saw him raise the dead. I saw him cure the sick. With each passing day, he is going to go to Jerusalem. He is going to die. And this is not the way it's supposed to be. And Peter was admonished immediately about that. But Judas will stew over it. If to save us, the Son of God had to suffer and die on the cross, it was certainly not by a cruel design by the Heavenly Father. The reason for the cross is the gravity of the illness from which he came to heal us. It was such a serious mortal disease that required every ounce of Christ's blood, everything of him completely. That's how bad the disease was. It was with his death and resurrection that Jesus defeated sin and death and reestablishing God's lordship over all things. And the battle is not over. Evil exists in every generation. There's never going to be a time where evil is going to stop on this earth until Jesus comes back again. I remember speaking to someone, and she was speaking to me, and she said, I thought, because I'm a priest, and I thought we would have solved it by now. I'm like, no. There's never going to be another ism. This is going to happen. It's going to solve it. Evil resists the cross in every generation. The horrors of war, violence to the innocent, the wretchedness and injustice against the weak are the opposition of evil to the kingdom of God all the time. And we have to ask ourselves, do we understand the mission and the cross? impulsive and unthinking love and perverse self-worship can always have the same result: the cancellation of Christ's life-giving sacrifice on the cross. I mean, this is the denial of our Lord's saving and loving action. That's what happens when we live our lives selfishly. So there's the choice: the worship of vanity, power, or any other purely human means to triumph or success, or you embrace the cross, which is the sole mean of God's love in the world. Nothing else. Just the cross. How is it possible to respond to the evil except with the unarmed and disarming power of love that conquers hatred and of life and that has no fear? On August 15th, David Roldan gave his life in Mexico, in Zacatecas, exactly 100 years ago. He did that. And with him were his pastor of his parish, Padre Batiz, and his cousin, Salvador, and another young man, Manuel Morales, who was married with 3 kids. And Padre Batiz, he preached clearly and with strength one last time, the last time, at that parish church of San Pedro, St. Peter's, on July 31st, 1926. And he said, "The cause of the misfortunes that the church and Catholics were going through was neither the government, which was socialist communist, nor the president, Elias Calles, but the sins of everyone. And therefore they should not take up arms, since such a course of action was not Christian." And they were killed 16 days later. St. Paul tells us to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, that we may discern what is the will of God. The transforming of our minds is to embrace that cross. There's no way that we can ever claim to be Christian without embracing the cross, accepting the cross of Jesus. Because it is there. There's no way to say, I'm embracing Jesus Christ and I'm going to kind of put his cross to the side. It is that cross. And we go to it. We don't understand it, but we know that's how he saves us. And in him we have that salvation. And in him we have that sacrificial love that is unarmed and disarming and life-bringing for all of us. And that is what we bring to the world from this parish, living our Catholic faith.